Hello there, and welcome to The Bitch Fix, a podcast for women who want to jam out on their lives, live in harmony with their hormones, and reclaim their mood, energy, and mojo. I'm Christine McCarroll, functional nutritionist and women's health straight talker, and I'm here to tell it like it is on all things health, happiness, and hormones for women. So shake off that cape, Superwoman, because we're here to launch this thing.
Well, hey, girl, and welcome to episode 135 of The Bitch Fix. Okay, so this week's episode was inspired by a conversation that I had earlier this week. So what happened was I had agreed to do kind of a little training session for a friend of mine who is a business coach for moms. And what she wanted to talk about, and I was so happy to, I've actually talked to several groups about this, and I love talking about it, is how you can use your menstrual cycle to your advantage when you are running a business. So this could actually apply to just about any area of your life. This could apply if you are an employee. This could apply if you are running a business, in just your relationships with your family. I just think it is so vital for us to know what is happening with our hormones throughout the cycle, because how we feel is going to be impacted by that. Okay. So the way that we see the world, like the lens that we are seeing the world through, is based on the lens of our hormones. And as cycling women, our hormones are different literally every single day. Right. So as a man in a man's world, which is kind of how we have established the entirety of the Western world, in a man's world, their hormones are essentially the same every single day, and they actually don't vary all that much across their lifetime. So there is something called andropause, where men start to have a slow decline of their hormones in their older years, so kind of related to menopause, but it is not the same sort of significant changes that women experience, and certainly they are not having those experiences of shifting day to day and month to month. So women, we're literally different every single day. So this is why we are having that conversation. I came in to do some training on what is looking at your menstrual cycle even look like? So how do you chart? What do you look at? How do you feel differently at different parts of your menstrual cycle? And then for these women who are running businesses, how can you optimize the way that you are working and thinking based on what your hormones are going to be telling your body at that time, right? So remembering that your hormones are chemical messengers and they are sending signals to the rest of your body. And we have receptors for hormones across all the cells of our bodies. So when those hormones are sending different signals, we're going to be getting different messages. So the question came up. So we had, you know, went through the training, and then we had a Q&A at the end. And the question came up, what if I have a really irregular menstrual cycle? And we dug in a little bit deeper, and the woman who asked the question has had an irregular menstrual cycle for her entire life. And the first thing I said, well, is we have to figure out why. And she was like, okay, there's reasons. And I was like, yes, there are. And she said, we could fix that. And I said, yes, we can. So this was very enlightening, I think, for her, very illuminating, that there might be not just this random thing that was happening to her where her menstrual cycle was irregular all the time. So she would sometimes have like a 25-day cycle, sometimes have like a 40-day cycle, really a lot of variation in the length of her cycle month to month. And it had never even been proposed that there might be a reason for it, or that there was anything that she could do about it to regulate her menstrual cycle other than the pill, right? So like many, many women, basically anytime a woman has anything sideways with her menstrual cycle, it doesn't matter what the thing is, the recommendation is the pill. And, you know, I have talked about my annoyance, and that's probably a light word for this, this way of handling things before, because you do not fix your menstrual cycle by going on the pill. But for the medical community, essentially, if you are, this is a very non-woman supportive perspective, by the way, in my opinion. But if you are bleeding every single month, that means that your menstrual cycle is regulated. So big problem number one with that is when you are on the pill and you bleed every month, that is not a period. Okay. That is a withdrawal bleed from the hormones that you've been taking. And there's a big difference between a natural menstrual cycle that is based on ovulation and a withdrawal bleed where you just don't have the hormones that you were synthetically getting. So this is not to bang on someone who is taking the pill. I took the pill for 10 years. I, in many ways, wish I could go back and undo at least a part of those years. But that is a big part of the misconception. The other thing is that we are not fixing that. So just regulating it, all of the medical community is trying to do there is just to be able to predict when you're going to bleed. And again, a bleed is not a menstrual cycle. The other thing that I just think about is that old analogy that if all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail, right? So it's like anything that is wrong with your period, if it is heavy bleeding, pill. If it is too light bleeding, pill. If it is a regular period, pill. If it is dysmenorrhea, which is like a lot of pain, pill. If it is amenorrhea, you haven't been getting your menstrual cycle, pill, right? So it is, there is, cannot just be one solution for all of the many reasons we might have those problems, right? And that's not even all of them. Like basically anything that is funky with your period, we're just like, okay, here's the pill. And it doesn't regulate. So that was the only thing she had ever been given was before her pregnancies. You know, before she ever had kids, they're like, okay, well, we're just going to regulate this with the pill. So, and again, like I just said, we're not actually regulating it when we do that. So, you know, she's like, okay. And I said, basically, like, this is a longer conversation. We're not going to solve why you are having an irregular menstrual cycle in the Q&A section of this training that I just did. But yes, there could be a reason. And it just inspired me to open this conversation on the podcast and share with you guys five reasons why you might have an irregular menstrual cycle. So when I say irregular, I mean that you can't really count on when your period is going to be showing up every month. Now, this list I'm going to give you, this five, my top five here, this is my top five because this is why I would think would be the most common reasons why you might experience this. But this does not mean this is every possible reason. So I don't want you to think that if it doesn't, if your irregularity doesn't fit into this particular box, that like there's not another reason. There absolutely could be another reason. And that is what, you know, my practice and all of functional nutrition, functional medicine, that is what it's all about, is finding out the root cause. So we want to know the root cause. We don't want to just, you know, hit the nail with the hammer because, you know, all we have is that one hammer of the pill. So I'm going to give you my top five reasons here why this might be happening. But again, there could be others. So the number one cause that I see is that you could be in perimenopause. And I've been talking a little bit more about midlife issues recently. And I did an episode, gosh, like way back at the beginning, I'm definitely going to say more than a year ago, about, I think it was called Perimenopause Starts When. And it was just like the notion that most women don't actually recognize when they are starting to have some hormonal shifts in the trend of years that could be heading towards menopause. So I talked about this actually a little bit on the episode last week with Celine Yeager and the upcoming book about perimenopause and menopause and how we should be moving and all of that in our midlife years. But essentially, there is that defining moment of menopause, which means that it has been 12 months since your last menstrual cycle. So 12 months after the last time you have a period, if you didn't have a period in that time, then you have officially passed that line in the sand of menopause. The entire time before that, and I think this is where the terminology gets muddy. A lot of times, like, we just don't know what's happening, or we loosely call it menopause if you're like having hot flashes, or you're not sleeping at night, or you're starting to be really irritable. And like, you might just have this feeling, you might say, I'm in menopause. But menopause, like, by definition, is actually that point where you don't have a cycle anymore. So when you're starting to have some symptoms of hormonal dysregulation before that, that's really that perimenopause period. And that period, you guys, could be up to 10 years before menopause actually hits. So the average age of menopause is like 51, 52. That is when we actually like hit that line in the sand where no more menstrual cycle. But the 10 years before that, so even into your early 40s, you could be in perimenopause. And some women start experiencing those shifts because, you know, everyone's biological menopause age is going to be different. Some women may be even experiencing those shifts starting in their late 30s. So they might be starting to have all of these, you know, constellation of symptoms and not realizing that they are actually in perimenopause. And I'm sorry for my dog barking in the background. Can't do anything about her. She hates that there's other dogs walking by outside. Totally illegal. Okay, so as we start to get into that perimenopause state, The biggest thing that is happening is progesterone falls off a cliff and estrogen is going up and down and up and down. And so with that kind of dysregulation where the progesterone levels are really significantly lower and then estrogen is going up and down, what that's going to do is have a big impact on when and if we ovulate. So we start to perhaps not ovulate every single month, or if we ovulate, the corpus luteum, which is what's left behind from the follicle that ovulates and is supposed to be producing progesterone, may not be producing the same amount of progesterone. So that really big decrease in progesterone in the second half of the menstrual cycle, and then just in general, so like across the board, we start to have a lot lower progesterone, can be one big reason why we start to see menstrual cycle irregularity. So the shifting of hormones up and down of estrogen as it starts to go down, kind of falling off a cliff, unfortunately, of progesterone, can lead to irregularity in the menstrual cycle in those perimenopause years. So again, recognize that we can have a lot of changes that happen in that 10-year period, and we might be chalking it up to something else. Another big thing that I see is changes in mood in perimenopause. So that is beyond the scope of this particular podcast. I'm like noting it for the future. We want to talk about mood and perimenopause because a lot of women get put on SSRIs in this time period, and it's actually a hormonal irregularity, not a problem with their brain or mood. So that is another topic for another day. But if you're starting to see kind of this constellation of symptoms, it might be a clue that perimenopause is in progress, and that might be one reason why your cycle is irregular. Okay. So another reason, now that would be kind of a time where maybe you had had a regular menstrual cycle and it starts to get dysregulated. If you have consistently had an irregular menstrual cycle, one other underlying reason might be PCOS. So PCOS, I've talked about a little bit on the podcast before.
Hey girl, I'm taking a quick break here to let you know about something I've been cooking up for you recently that I think you're really gonna wanna know about. It's a guide for midlife women called 5 Metabolic Mistakes Women in Midlife Make, and it's all about the specific changes that happen to a woman's metabolism in midlife. As a woman in midlife myself, but also someone who considers herself, you know, pretty darn healthy, I was damn surprised at some of the ways my body started changing after 40. And judging from the hundreds of women I've talked to, I know that I'm not alone. So if you've had the what the heck is going on all of a sudden feeling yourself after hitting the midlife cliff, I'm pulling back the curtain to show you 5 mistakes you might be making that you had no idea were impacting your body in midlife. You can grab the guide at bit.ly/5 Metabolic Mistakes. That's bit.ly/5 Metabolic Mistakes. It's going to open your eyes.
That stands for polycystic ovarian syndrome. And I would say for cycling women, it is maybe the most common reason for an irregular menstrual cycle. So with polycystic ovarian syndrome, there's another one where like there's a lot more to say about it than just this particular podcast episode. It is typically a metabolic disturbance. So what we typically see pattern-wise, and again, everyone might be different, we might see higher androgens, so things like testosterone, DHEA, are higher for these women. And it comes with some symptoms quite frequently of things like excess facial hair, maybe hair on a nipple, a little bit less head hair, some trouble with weight gain, particularly in the midsection, and then insulin resistance or blood sugar problems. A lot of times there's also a lot of pain associated with either ovulation or menstruation. So those are some reasons why there are some symptoms of PCOS. So PCOS, the definition of it is polycystic ovaries. Not every woman actually has cysts on her ovaries. But if that were the case, regardless, what we're getting is the ovaries are not really operating 100% optimally. And so with that, because our menstrual cycle is dependent on a healthy ovulation happening every single month, if that ovulation is disrupted based on those hormone imbalances with higher androgen hormones, and or some problems with blood sugar that are triggering the ovaries to make extra androgens, which is often the case, what we see then is, again, irregular menstrual cycles because there isn't this happy, regular ovary that's happily, regularly, every single month around the same time, producing an egg. So PCOS for cycling women is one of the very most common causes for an irregular menstrual cycle. Okay. So the next two, I think, go together pretty closely. The next one, so the third one, but the first of this next two that I'm going to talk about is low body fat percent. So we do actually need, as women, there is a reason why we have more body fat than men do. So if you just look at the female frame, we have breasts, we have larger hips, we have a bum, and more fat on our thighs, right? So just the female figure, we naturally have a higher percentage of fat. And I think biologically, that's for a lot of reasons, but one big reason is we need to be able to sustain a pregnancy. So biologically, now, of course, this does not mean you want children, but biologically, what your body is saying is we need to have the stores to support a pregnancy. So if you were to get pregnant, and then also let's say there was a food shortage, we have some fat on the body to be able to support that. And if you think about it, again, biologically, what does your body want here? If your body is thinking of fertility, and then that is why it would be ovulating. And then ovulation, again, this is like kind of that driving factor of why we are going to be having a menstrual cycle. So if your body fat percent is incredibly low, then you may not be able to produce the hormones necessary for healthy ovulation. Now, what does that mean? It kind of depends on where you are in your life. So younger women, typically you don't really want to be below about 21% body fat if you are going to be able to have healthy ovulation. Women over 40 might need that to be higher, even above like 23% body fat. And again, this is not really all that high. This is actually, I think, on the lower side of body fat percentage. But as a lot of women get, for whatever reason, maybe driven to have a lower body fat percent, or they think that's going to be optimal, that lower body fat percent is going to really drive down fertility. And then, of course, that really goes along with not ovulating, not having a healthy menstrual cycle that goes with it. So if you are incredibly lean, intentionally or not, that may be a reason for low hormone production and an irregular menstrual cycle. Okay, so getting a little bit more specific for why you might have a low body fat percent, one big reason is what is called relative energy deficiency, or RED, and more typically it's called REDS, which is relative energy deficiency in sport. So this is a pretty common phenomenon with women who are incredibly active. So I'm using the word active and not just athlete, because I have seen this in my practice, not with just with someone who is maybe a conventional athlete, but someone who is just excessively exercising. So if you just pull apart what that word means, or what that acronym is, so relative energy deficiency means that you don't have enough energy, which I'm just going to say is food, right? So we don't have enough input to meet the output. It's relative because it's relative to the amount of output. So if you have a really high output because you are incredibly physically active, and this could be everything from actively being in a sport to maybe recreational weekend stuff, to you are going to, two or three exercise classes in a day. And I have absolutely had clients who are doing that. So that deficiency means that we don't have enough input, again, to meet the output. So if we have a lot of output in terms of physical energy, we are exercising a lot, we are moving a lot, we are doing something really active, and we are not putting sufficient energy in, your body is going to downregulate non-essential functions. And as far as your body is concerned, menstruating is for having babies. And if you are not in the position to be having babies because you are under tremendous physical stress, then we're going to shut off that part, right? So your body is always going to put survival first. And this is like, I think, a key take-home message here for kind of across the board. If you need to be in survival, if you are looking at how do we keep this body alive, we're going to turn off the things that are non-essential. So this also looks like often things that go along with it is we see things like hair loss or super dry skin or fatigue, because your body is downregulating anything that doesn't have to do with just keeping you alive. Now, the thing that I think is really problematic is that it has been normalized, I think, for a lot of sports. And I see this a lot with young girls too, like high school athletes, college athletes, where it, because it's common, it has become normal. And I definitely see this like dark side of the normalization conversation where like everything under the sun is now being normalized. And I think like, okay, common isn't normal. And also some things shouldn't be normalized. And being an active female and not having your menstrual cycle should not be normalized, right? It is common because we see it in a lot of young athletes, or again, I've seen this in two women in their 30s and 40s who are excessively exercising and not really meeting their needs for food. That it's normal, right? Oh, I'm an athlete. I am in gymnastics. I'm cycling. I'm working out all the time. I'm lifting weights, whatever it is. But if that it's normal, quote unquote, that you would lose your period. And it really isn't. So it absolutely is possible to be at the top of your game in a sport or even just physically. If you're somebody who's just like, you know, again, really wanting to go to the next level physically, it is possible to do that and not lose your period or not have a super irregular period. So that irregularity, again, is if there is irregularity in the nutrient availability to your body for ovulation because of sometimes having enough and sometimes not enough, especially if there's like this, you know, super intense periods of moving or super intense periods of not having enough food. Again, your body is going to see this as maybe some months I have enough resources to allow for ovulation and some months I don't. So this is a huge one. And again, I have seen this across the board. I have seen this in women who are just excessively exercising, or maybe they think that they're not excessive. But when we look at the balance, we look at the input versus the output, it's too much output and not enough input to meet those needs. So those are specific conversations to have around how are you fueling for your workouts. But if you're not fueling appropriately, that red S, that relative energy deficiency or relative energy deficiency, again, in sport, and I'm going to say sport is just anyone who's active or very active, that can be a big reason for an irregular menstrual cycle. Okay. So the last one, so far we have covered perimenopause, which is really, honestly, I'm going to say even over 35, it's a possible consideration, but definitely over 40, possible consideration. PCOS, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome, could be any time really in your life span. Low body fat percentage and or red S, often those go together. And then the final one is low progesterone and or really low estrogen. So this is just having low sex hormones. I'm going to focus on progesterone. And this is a little bit of a chicken egg thing because we make progesterone when we ovulate. And again, there's some of these underlying factors of maybe why you haven't ovulated. But then if your progesterone's low, you're maybe not going to have a menstrual cycle, or you're going to have essentially you're never ovulating. And what you're getting is like breakthrough bleeds periodically, but you're not really, again, the true definition of a menstrual cycle is that you have ovulated. So there's this hormonal cycle that goes from, you've ovulated, there's a level of progesterone. If there is no fertilization of the egg, you're not pregnant, hormone levels drop off. That tells your body signal, okay, now we're going to start, getting ready for the next cycle. We bring up estrogen, we bring progesterone back up a little bit. We are starting to get ready to produce another egg. So we are in that next cycle. There's the follicular phase of the follicle developing, then ovulating, then, you know, making its way down. And we kind of go back on that cycle. So two episodes you might want to listen to if you want to go more into detail about actually the menstrual cycle. One of them was called charting, like what to do and why you would want to. And then I think the other one is called ovulate, like the story of ovulation and why you want it. Those are the two podcast episodes. So I will link those up in the show notes to make sure that you can go back if you want more details specifically about like how do you chart, why might you want to, why do you want to ovulate? All of that is actually a lot more in those details. So with the low progesterone, what I'm going to say is this is kind of like a root cause with root causes. So it's a root cause for having an irregular menstrual cycle, but there are reasons why you might have low progesterone in the first place, right? So I think a lot of the hormone conversation, and I have a problem with this in kind of the hormone space in the wellness world, is that we are always jumping to the sexy thing. And I honestly think that in a lot of cases, jumping to hormone testing is the sexy thing. And I did another podcast episode on this, like, should I test my hormones? And I am for sure in favor of knowing what's happening with your hormones. At the same time, I often see that it's secondary to other things. And I would actually say like almost 100% of the time, I can rarely think of a time where it wasn't a secondary factor to some other imbalance, because we need some of these other things to be in line for healthy ovulation and healthy hormone levels, right? So healthy hormones, I don't think is necessarily a root cause. It is more of a symptom. So why might you have
low progesterone. So here are some reasons why you might have low progesterone. The number one thing that you might be looking for is low thyroid. So this is definitely an interplay thing, but I have talked frequently about the intersection of our three, what I call big dog hormones, which are insulin, cortisol, and thyroid. And so insulin is really blood sugar regulation. Cortisol is all about stress management. And thyroid, of course, is energy regulation. But if thyroid is low, it's one of those big dogs. So if something goes awry with thyroid, we're often going to see this affecting the menstrual cycle. So we do have to have enough thyroid hormone to be able to produce progesterone. So if you're low in thyroid, you might not have sufficient progesterone. And then again, we get into that cycle of your dysregulated hormones and you're not going to have good ovulation. And then of course you can have these prolonged cycles where we're not getting just the actual ovulation happening at a regular basis. So what you would want to be checking there is your thyroid hormone. And again, podcast episodes, you can go back to all about thyroid hormone. But what I will say is most doctors aren't sufficiently addressing thyroid. They're looking just at one single number, TSH. We're not looking at the full picture where we want to see at the very barest of minimums, TSH, T4, T3, and both free and total T4 and T3. That's bare minimum. I also think every woman should be checking for antibodies periodically. And then also things like reverse T3 are really important to get the full hormone picture. But thyroid, if something is off with your period, one place I'd be looking for root cause wise is thyroid. Again, we can keep going down the rabbit hole, you guys. There's reasons for low thyroid hormone too. But again, just like as we start to rule things out, this is one of the things to look for. Another one is stress. Now, again, if we're just going to that that three big dogs of hormone balance, cortisol, our stress hormone, is really a big player here, because if we are chronically using all of our precursor hormones, so pregnenolone is this hormone that's like a precursor to progesterone and to cortisol. If we're constantly using all of that to make our stress hormones of cortisol, we're not going to be making progesterone as well. It also is going to cause some dysregulation with the receptors for progesterone. So we could see multiple problems in here. And honestly, like a lot of times I've seen women have like a really dysregulated menstrual cycle after a period of stress. So this wouldn't be a cause for chronic dysregulated or irregular menstrual cycle. This would be usually more of like, okay, I went through something incredibly stressful and then I had my period. I was talking to a woman a couple of weeks ago where she had seen this pattern for years with herself. She would have an incredibly stressful life event and then like immediately her period would come on, and she was asking, are those related? And I'm like, damn straight, those are related, right? So serious stress can certainly do that. I also see oftentimes after the holidays, women in like January start to have an irregular menstrual cycle for even a couple of months. As joyful as holidays can be, they can also be stressful. And also we can be doing things that are dysregulating blood sugar. So we get like a double whammy oftentimes around the holidays. And then all of a sudden we have a dysregulated menstrual cycle at the beginning of the year. So again, kind of another reason for low progesterone, and low progesterone being a reason why you might have a dysregulated menstrual cycle, low thyroid, stress. One other one might be that you have recently had a baby. And now I guess a lot of women would assume this, but not everybody does. One big thing there is that if you were breastfeeding, and even if you didn't breastfeed for very long, you might still have high prolactin levels. So prolactin is a hormone that's made in your pituitary gland in the brain, and it does control lactation. But there also can be times where prolactin is high and it isn't related to breastfeeding, or you have finished breastfeeding and prolactin should have come down and it hasn't. So prolactin is something you can look at on blood work, and I do think it's a good idea to look for. But in particular, prolactin is going to, like, the reason why a lot of women post-breastfeeding don't get their periods back right away is because of that hormone, that prolactin level. So it's something you might want to check. It can also kind of go higher and mess up the ovarian function in perimenopause and premenopause. But when we're, you know, one reason why you don't get your period, but also why you're not really that fertile for a lot of women, you can't count on it, but for a lot of women, when they have just had a baby, is for that reason, that prolactin's higher. It's kind of changing the signaling to the ovaries, and then we don't have the same fertility level. So that is my top five. Now, again, there were some subcategories. So there was some, like, you know, additional ones to that top five, but those top five, just to give you a recap on why you might have an irregular menstrual cycle. And again, some of these would be a short-term dysregulation, and some of these might be things that you see consistently for the long term. But we have perimenopause, which is anytime in that 10 years before menopause, PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, low body fat, relative energy deficiency, and low progesterone. So those are some reasons you might have a dysregulated or irregular menstrual cycle to consider. These are some things you might also be talking about with your doctor if your doctor is just like, here is the pill to solve this problem, because the pill is not going to solve all those problems. We have to actually do some some deeper digging into why those things are happening in the first place so that we can actually resolve things from the root cause. So that is what I am all about, is discovering what the root cause is and solving from that level. So we're not just continually doing that, what I call whack-a-mole approach, just whacking those symptoms. We want to actually find out why you have those symptoms in the first place and solve from that level. All right, you guys, that is it for this week. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week and weekend, and I will see you next time.
Hey, if you've been on the hormonal roller coaster and want to know how to put the theories and strategies shared on this podcast to work for your body, I want to invite you to join me in my program, The Bitch Fix in Six Steps to Happy Hormones. I'll help you heal your hormones naturally so you can get your mood, energy, and mojo back and live the badass life you were designed for. This is the work I've done with hundreds of women, and it can work for you too. To learn more, go to thebitchfixin6.com. I can't wait to meet you inside.